All right, hey, friend of the show back again. Really appreciate you. Conrad Van Order, host and producer, three-man front, WJOX Radio down in Birmingham. Conrad, how are you?
Doing great, Michael. Appreciate you having me back.
Yeah, and I can't make fun of you as much as I did last year because I think the last time we talked, Tennessee had just they had beaten Alabama, so we don't even have to mention that series last year because it was such a disaster for especially Joey Aguilar. Wait, let me ask you that. Was Alabama fans, were they sad to see Joey Aguilar not get his eighth year because of that pick six?
See, that's actually a funny point that you made there because, yeah, I think Alabama fans were actually a little disappointed about that. It's like, man, I'll take another Zabian Brown pick six before halftime this year upcoming. But, no, it's going to be I know we're not going to talk a lot about Tennessee, but I'm very interested to see where that goes this year.
All right. Well, I mean, again, we don't do a ton of basketball on this show, but this is kind of peak basketball time. I know it is for you guys as well. So how would you rate the job Nate Oates has done this year? Because I've talked to some people who, you know, they've kind of told me this was his worst team, they thought. Yet, I know they're not going to win the SEC because Florida's so good, but they may be the second best team in the conference. I mean, that's a pretty outstanding head coach Alabama has.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to ask me to put a letter grade on it, I mean, I'd probably have to give him an AA-, maybe, something like that, because I agree with what you said. On paper coming into the year, you know, you knew about Filon coming back and that was a big gift for Alabama, but you had a lot of unknowns, honestly. And it's been kind of a weird season because you started off pretty hot. You got that win over St. John's and Illinois, and it's like, man, this team's looking like something special. Then they kind of had that rut in the middle of the season. But now I know they just lost on the road to Georgia, but up until that point, right, you win 8 games in a row. I think it's really impressive what he's done. And I think, you know, for me personally, but also just talking to a lot of Alabama fans, you know, 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, right, it was make to the Sweet 16. That's kind of the standard now. That'll be a good year. And now, I mean, I talked to somebody the other day and they said, well, I think Alabama might win the whole thing. Like, I don't think I would go that far. But, they're playing great basketball. They're no Florida. Not many teams are right now. But, no, they're doing a great job. And I think you have to give a lot of credit to Nate for finding a way to get these guys to come together. And, despite the whole Betty Ocko thing, which I honestly was not a huge fan of in general, of bringing him back, but to kind of have him come back, you can't tell me that wasn't a distraction for some of the guys, especially like an Aiden Sherrill of, oh, so I'm not good enough, so we got to go bring this guy in. And to be able to navigate that the way that he did and to get this team playing their best ball right now is pretty impressive.
You went right into my next question. I wanted to ask you about old Betty Ocko. I mean, where is the general Alabama fan? Do they support that? Because, you know, for the rest of us, I mean, that was almost like borderline disgraceful. Especially, I mean, it's one thing where like the coach comes out and didn't he say like a month prior, like, I'm not in favor of these pros coming in, and then he just did it himself. So he's not doing anything that the rest of these coaches necessarily aren't doing. I mean, I think they'd all bend the rules to if it's to their advantage, but just, I mean, this was almost like a line too far, even for Commissioner Sankey, apparently.
Oh, that's a whole nother thing there. Cause yeah, it's pretty funny that kind of just went against Alabama on that one, didn't you, Commissioner Sankey? Didn't have a lot to say about some of these other players, but we don't have to spend too much time on that. I think just your initial question, you know, I think a lot of Alabama fans at first, it was, this smells bad. This isn't right. We don't agree with this, but if it benefits us, you know, who am I to really complain about it? But I think now, definitely now, and I mean, it probably didn't help that you went 3-2 in the 5 games you had him. So it's not like he came in and was averaging, you know, 25-12 or something like that and taking over, you know, college basketball. But I think the general sentiment that I share is go get a job. Like you made a decision. You wanted to go pro. And I remember, you know, I was at Jocks when he was in college the first time. And it was, everyone knew it was not in his best interest to go to the NBA, but he wanted to try and test those waters. He wasn't good enough to cut it. And so he wanted to come back to college. And now it's time to go be a big boy and get a real job. Like, I mean, that's just the reality of it. He made a decision. It backfired on him. And it's unfortunate for him in the sense that maybe he had to be the example to prevent this from happening in the future. But somebody had to be, and it very well may be Charles Bediako. But no, I think the general sentiment now is the team's fine without him. Let's just move on. Yeah, the depth would be nice, but at the end of the day, go grow up and get a big boy job.
Yeah, he'll be hanging out with Joey Aguilar next year at selling insurance, if I had to guess. All right, last thing on basketball. So we got the SEC tournament next week, and then obviously the NCAA tournament, which Alabama will certainly qualify for. Now, you kind of already tiptoed on this as well, but could you see Bama winning the SEC tournament? And realistically, how far could they go in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, that's a great question. And my, for me, I think in Nashville, certainly getting to the championship game is well within reach, right? Because, you know, the path that they have, if it were to start today, right, you'd have to play Tennessee, and you know, to Tennessee's credit, right, they've been a thorn in Alabama's side really until that last game a couple of weeks ago. You saw the great Arkansas game. Like, I would love to see those matchups again, and we've seen Alabama win them. So, yeah, I think they could get to a championship game. But in my personal opinion right now, you're probably going to be seeing Florida in that championship game, and I do not think this Alabama team can beat Florida right now. I would love to be proven wrong in that fact, but I would say Sunday would be about as far as they could go. I don't know if they'll be cutting down the nets in Nashville. As far as the NCAA tournament, obviously it's all about the draw, right? I would have said the team that made the Final Four a couple years ago, that team had – I had no expectation of that year, but they got a good draw. They got hot at the right time, so you never know. I would say right now Elite Eight seems right for this Alabama team. I think they're definitely in a different category than, I mean, I've talked about Florida a lot. Obviously, I think they're great. But they're not Michigan, Arizona, Duke. They're not in that category. I know they beat Illinois earlier in the year, and they've been playing really well. But, yeah, I would say Elite Eight for this team would be a really, really great year. But you never know how the bracket's going to fill out, and you could trip up somewhere, or you could get a great draw, or someone has a massive upset somewhere else and find yourself back in a Final Four. But, yeah, I would go championship Sunday for the SEC tournament. Don't think they can win it. And Elite Eight for the NCAA tournament.
Well, you mentioned that win at Tennessee. I think we all know had Nate Emmett not gotten hurt, Tennessee would have easily won that one. But
I'll give you that. Yeah. Hey, Rick Barnes said it though. We deserved it after last year in Meshack or whatever.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. That was pretty awesome. All right. Let's switch gears to the sport that we really care about around here, football. I'm kind of curious to know where you would land on this. Because if you remember this time last year, it was all from Alabama fans. All I heard was, well, we got Ryan Grubb back. We're good, you know? And at times.
That was me. That, I would have been in that boat, yeah.
At times that looked to be the case, right? Early in the season, about halfway through. But what do you think? Did Ryan Grubb live up to the hype for Alabama last year?
No, if that's the question, absolutely not. I made the joke after the Super Bowl. I said Alabama should fire Ryan Grubb because then they'll win the national championship next year, because you saw what happened with the Seahawks. They fired Ryan Grubb and they won the Super Bowl. So I'm half kidding when I say that. But no, I think in terms of expectations, you hit the nail on the head, right? Up and through that stretch, right, where it was, oh, Alabama went and beat four ranked teams in a row and it was incredible. And, you know, Georgia and Missouri and Tennessee and all that, and it was great, and the offense was humming, and then at a certain point, I think what we all knew would happen did happen, and that was you can't run the football in the SEC. Ty Simpson was great, but the wear and tear of the season, he was obviously banged up at the end of it, and he didn't have any help, and I think a lot of that has to come back on Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer as well, right, because you hired these guys, specifically Kalen DeBoer, because he was a great offensive coach. And at times last year, it felt like that betrayed you, because it felt like the defense, very similar to his first year, defense played really great the second half of the season. The offense kind of tapered off a little bit. And now I think there's fair reason to be, I don't know if concerned is the right word, but to, you know, have some question marks around Ryan Grubb and what that offense is going to look like, because you have to be able to run the football. And, there's just, I know we'll get into this year's team, I'm sure, but there's just a lot of question marks, a lot of new faces. And he's really got to show something this year, because I think the general sentiment from Alabama fans, a lot of them wanted him to be fired. And I think obviously Kalen DeBoer's loyal. He's not going to do that right now, but something has to be much better this upcoming season. Otherwise, those questions are only going to get louder.
And what is your confidence level that Alabama can run the football to a much improved percentage with a rebuild offensive line, new offensive line coach, and a new quarterback, which will obviously, depending on how that goes, that could determine, you know, how defenses are going to play you.
Yeah. that would probably be my, I need to see it, right? You need to see it before you can believe it. And you know, I like some of the additions they made, right? You have, you know, one guy coming back and Michael Carroll there at one of the tackle spots who played, you know, a good number of snaps last year as a freshman. But other than that, you got a bunch of young guys from other programs. You got two guys from Michigan. Okay, how big of a development are they going to take? You have a center in Rayson Delgatti who nobody's ever heard of before, but he's played a lot of football. But how is his skill set going to translate from the Group 5 to the SEC, right? I think that's a very fair question to have. And then, you know, at the running back spot, you brought in Xavier Crowell out of the high school ranks. And I know, you know, he's kind of a legend here in the state of Alabama now, and he's great, but you're asking an 18-year-old kid to put your running game on his back. Like, is that really fair to do with him? And you've got some guys that returned from last year, but I think all of those guys, you would probably agree with me, are complimentary pieces, but none of them obviously showed what it took to be a lead back last year. So I have a lot of questions about the running game. I can't confidently say, oh, Alabama's going to be able to run the football this year, because what did I see last year that translates to this year? When you had more experience on the offensive line, they were confident in the running game going into the season based on all the things they said. So I'm in need to see it to believe it kind of mode. And you mentioned the quarterback. I feel good about both of those guys, but especially early on in a season, like, these guys don't have starting experience. Like, you're going to need to be able to help them out. And that's a lot of pressure to have on a new offensive line. That's a lot of young guys without experience, a new running back room that doesn't have a ton of experience, and two quarterbacks they're going to be pretty fresh. So I'm lukewarm right now on the run game.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it seems like I don't follow the draft too closely, but it certainly seems like Ty Simpson will be a first-round pick based on people that do follow it. If he is a first-round pick, would you spend that more towards, man, Alabama? They're really good at developing. Because I bet you would remember a year ago, non-Alabama people were like, Ty Simpson, good luck with this guy. You know, but again, first-round pick, I thought he played until he got kind of banged up. I thought he was phenomenal. Would you spin it as, man, they really know how to develop? Or could you spin it as, man, they didn't really have anything but Ty Simpson, and it really started to show late in the season when he couldn't perform, they really struggled?
Yeah, I think both things can be true. To be honest, if I had to give credit to one single person or one group more than anybody, it would be to Ty Simpson. Because that's a guy that stayed the course, and he's been at Alabama for quite some time before he got his opportunity. And I think you definitely give credit to DeBoer and Grubb and the rest of the offensive staff, you know, Nick Sheridan, those guys, for helping him continue to develop. But he is, in my opinion, a rarity in college athletics now. He's a coach's kid. He works hard. He has all the intangible stuff that you would want. And I think he's one of those guys that, like, he just wasn't going to let himself fail. And obviously he had a lot of natural talent. I mean, he was a five-star kid coming out of high school. But I think a lot of it was just his work ethic and the way that he carried himself and the way that he led that offense. He deserves a lot of credit for doing that himself. And I do think you're right, though, to the point of, I mean, you go back to that Georgia game and how great he was in that game. They won that game because he completed a crap ton of passes on third down. Right. And you saw later in the season that just wasn't, you can't repeat that every single week. And I think it was fair to say that he had a lackluster supporting cast. I mean, outside of Jeremy Bernard, and Quavis, you know, when he was healthy at times was a big piece there of that offense. But outside of that, I mean, Ryan Williams was a huge disappointment. Isaiah Horton was great for like two games last year, and then he was a ghost the rest of the season. You know, Lottie Brooks, a freshman, he came along and he helped out a lot, but the offensive line was very inconsistent. The running game was embarrassing. So I think a lot of it is, yeah, teams look at him and go, wow, look at what he did without a great supporting cast. Imagine what he can do with a little more development in the NFL. And, you know, like a lot of these guys, I think he's very landing spot dependent, right? If you tell me that he ends up on the New York Jets or the Cleveland Browns, which I know he was on a visit with today, I believe, probably not going to work out for him. But if he lands in, and I know Pittsburgh, that's been a popular spot for him, I think something like that could work. But he's a guy that probably needs a little more time to develop. And, you know, he just doesn't have a lot of starting experience right now. But what he did, all things considered last year, was quite exceptional. I think he deserves the majority of the credit for his performance.
Mm-hmm. Hey, would you consider it an upset if Keelan Russell isn't the starting quarterback next season?
No. I would think that – I would put it like this. I think going into the spring, Austin Mack is going to be the guy – you know, if you were to ask, you know, who's going to get the first snap in spring ball, it's going to be Austin Mack. He's been around the system. He's a Kalen DeBoer guy, a Ryan Grubb guy. He was with him at Washington. And there's only so much you can take away from what he did in the Rose Bowl. But, you know, it was a guy that came in a situation you were never going to come back and win that football game. But he did some nice things. You know, he showed some poise. He showed some athleticism with his legs and what he can do. But Keelan Russell, man, that is a – the things that people around that program told me last year, going to the games and talking to people that cover the team and people that are there in the facility on a daily basis, I think, you know, I don't know if it's fair to say it'd be an upset if he wasn't the quarterback this year, but I mean, he's, you know, almost mythical status in terms of, you know, you're getting compared to the Bryce Youngs and the Tua Tagovailoas of Alabama quarterbacks. And if that's the guy, you know, even if he's not as experienced, I think you have to let him play, right? If he has the best upside, especially you look at Alabama's schedule, it's not that difficult the first month of the season. I think you have to roll with it. And so I wouldn't be surprised at all if he ends up being the guy. And me personally, you know, I'm not speaking for anybody on the coaching staff, but me and what I understand, I think they want him to be the guy. They want him to show them, hey, I'm ready to take the reins and take over this, because I think the ceiling for Alabama is at its highest if Keelan Russell is the guy at quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and fair or not, in this age of college football, like, if you don't play them, they're going to leave, you know? And I think
I couldn't believe both of them this year. That was a huge shock to me, honestly.
Right, right. So, again, something they didn't have to deal with back in the day, but you got to deal with that today. Speaking of, you know, stuff that's tough to deal with, is it fair – I've been saying this about Kalen DeBoer all offseason. I don't think he's on the hot seat, but I think he could find himself there this season, depending on how Alabama does. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah. Well, we're in March Madness, so we'll say he's on the bubble.
Okay.
He's a bubble team for the hot seat. How about that? No, I think that's a pretty good way of putting it, Mike. I think for Kalen DeBoer. Well, first off, let me say this, and I don't know if you agree or not. I'd love to get your input. I think beating Oklahoma in that playoff game was massive for him, not just getting to the playoff, but finding a way to go on the road and win that game, especially against a team, right, that's beaten you twice now in his 2 years there in Tuscaloosa. I think that bought him some time, in my opinion. And, you know, to kind of bring back the quarterback discussion for a little bit there too, I think part of it is, you know, if you're Kalen DeBoer, do you want Keelan Russell to go out there and play well? And maybe let's say you go 9-3, but Keelan Russell plays well. Well, it's probably pretty easy to sell guys on another year of Kalen DeBoer, because you say, well, look at what he did as a first-year starter. Now imagine what we can do in year two in 2027 with him. And I think that's certainly something that may come into play. But I think it's fair. If they miss the playoff, he'll absolutely be on the hot seat going into the next season. Because at this point, right, it's you came in. You missed the playoff because you lost to a Vanderbilt team that was ascending, but you should have won that game, and you lost to a bad Oklahoma team. Then the next year, you make the playoff, you win a playoff game, so now what's the natural order of progression? Well, let's win multiple playoff games. Let's go and compete for a national championship. And so I think a lot of people have that expectation, but I don't think he's on the hot seat. I think you could maybe even argue that of his 3 years in Tuscaloosa, maybe he has the least amount of pressure on him this year, just in the sense of last year, we all knew what it was. You missed the playoff 2 years in a row, people were going to want you fired. The first year coming in, replacing Nick Saban, probably unfair pressure, but a lot of pressure there. But I think now he's bought himself a little bit of time, a little bit more cachet with the program, getting a playoff win. But if Alabama's 9-3 and outside the playoff or worse than that, then I think you're having a very real conversation heading into 2027. But I think you hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, Conrad, I think that Rose Bowl kind of crystallized where we are with college football, right? Where freaking Indiana can just decimate Alabama, that the football that we know for the last couple decades, that's a thing of the past. And are all Alabama fans going to buy that? No, they're not. And that's, I think that's the biggest thing that is probably going to hinder DeBoer in Tuscaloosa, with the fans that are going to demand, you know, Alabama be something that it honestly can't be in this age.
Yeah, I think that's something that we have. Well, first off, I think it probably helped him a little bit that Indiana then went out and did the same thing to Oregon, because then at least it's like, okay, well, it wasn't just an Alabama problem. Maybe it's a little bit of just Indiana being, you know, being that good. But something we talk about all the time on our radio show on Three Man Front is, you know, we try to tell the listeners, like, and we're guilty of it too. I think you would agree that you are as well at times. Like, you have to rewire your brain in terms of how you view, I mean, college athletics as a whole, but especially college football. It's just different now. And, you know, things that in the past, you know, in the Nick Saban era, if Nick Saban was the head coach, last year would have been a disappointment. But I think because people are starting to come around to the idea, you can be optimistic about coming off a year where you made the playoff and won a game there. But I think it's just people having to rewire their brains. And like you said, there's going to be a certain category of people that never want to give him the benefit of the doubt or want to continue to compare him to Nick Saban. And, you know, I'm not that old myself, but I do remember the pre-Nick Saban days, but there's a lot of people that don't. And that's all that they've ever known for Alabama. And so this to them is kind of an embarrassment. And it's, you know, you look at maybe a program like Georgia and you go, well, why are we not doing what Georgia's doing? And I just don't know if that's fair to compare. Also, you know, Georgia hasn't won a playoff game in 3 years. So, you know, you got to put that context to it as well. But I think it's just trying to get people to rewire their brains. And there's going to be a portion of people that just honestly don't want to do that.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've ever caught any of our segments or know who Chris Marler is, but in the middle of, in the middle of his profanity tirades, there is some wisdom there. And he always says Alabama gets judged on a different scale. And I think he's right in a sense that, like I see, I think it was Joel Klatt was like, well, this is two in a row, four lost seasons for DeBoer, which is accurate to say, but I think it's kind of asinine to just throw that out there because it's SEC championship, it's Rose Bowl that you lost. I mean, to say he's had, that makes it sound like it's four lost regular seasons, which would be completely different, but I don't.
Isn't that the same Joel Klatt that I think has said he's never attended an SEC game in person?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. I don't watch much.
I think I saw that. Yeah. Well, there's a reason for that.
But hey, speaking of spring football, what will you be concentrating the most if, let's take our eyes off of the quarterback competition, because I think everybody will be looking at that. But aside from that, what will you be concentrating most for Alabama this spring?
Got to be offensive line with a mix of defensive line, right? We know trenches and, you know, whatever. If you follow SEC football, you know, games are won and lost in the trenches. But I think offensive line is massive for Alabama in a number of ways, right? We talked about the running game, how bad that was last year. Obviously, you need a good offensive line. And I think last year you just had some guys that were, you know, kind of soft. Like they didn't want to do the dirty work in the run game. And so do you have guys that are now coming in willing to do that? You know, we talked about the quarterbacks being inexperienced. You need to be able to protect them, give them some time so they can get through their progressions and feel comfortable back there. So I think it's got to be the offensive line because, you know, you just don't really know what you have and you have a lot of pieces. You know, it's almost like a puzzle, right? Because you've got a lot of these guys that are coming in and it's, well, all right, Nick Brooks from Texas. Well, he could play guard. He could play tackle. Strayhorn from Michigan. He could play guard, but if you need help at center, he could play center. Same thing with Ty Haywood. He could play tackle. He could play guard. So you've got all these guys that you have the pieces. You just got to figure out how they fit together in the most consistent way and which guys work together the best. So I think that's got to be a major point of emphasis. Also, you touched on it earlier, but you got a new offensive line coach coming in. And so what is kind of the approach? Because I think it's clear to me there needed to be a different approach last year. And so what does that look like this year? I think offensive line is huge for Alabama, just like it is for any team. And then I think on the defensive line, you know, I know you had some injuries last year and you had some young guys like a London Simmons that were a nice surprise. And Yanze Pierre, I think, proved that at least going into this year, you know, there's the expectation that he'll be one of the top defensive linemen in the conference. But you know, you have a lot of unknowns. You have a lot of guys that came in through the transfer portal, a lot of young guys that are going to be getting, you know, they're, you know, fighting for a starting job maybe for the first time in their their college careers. And that's going to be a big thing for Alabama too, because you got to be able to get after the quarterback. And, you know, it's been a while since, you know, Will Anderson or a Dallas Turner, you know, like the most recent guys that you would look at and go, oh, those are first round picks, dominant edge rushers, guys that get after the quarterback. You just haven't really had those. So can you find, you know, maybe a couple of those guys, or some of the guys you got through the portal going to do that, or some of the new, you know, the younger guys going to step up? And I think offensive and defensive line are huge. And if those areas improve, then we're probably talking about Alabama being a playoff team again this year. And if they don't improve, or they struggle at times, then, you know, it's very likely that Alabama's on the outside looking in.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about Alabama, you mentioned Ryan Williams. What's your expectations for him year three? Can he be more consistent, do you think?
That is a million-dollar question. It's actually more than that, because I'm sure they're paying him to double that. Well, I hope that now that he's engaged, maybe that helps him settle down. Maybe he was just a puppy love last year, and that's what was messing with his head. But, you know, I think a couple things that will help with him. One is, you know, they tried to move him in the slot more last year. Just my assessment from what I saw with my own two eyes, guy doesn't like to get hit. Nobody does, but you play wide receiver in the SEC, you got to take those licks. And I think being able to move him back outside should make him more comfortable. But you're back in a position now where you had Jeremy last year, who kind of, you know, proved to be the wide receiver one for Alabama. But now you're back with Ryan Williams, and he needs to be that guy, right? He needs to be able to build on, I mean, let's be honest, he's got half a season of a freshman season where he was excellent, and he's got a year and a half now of film that's average, in my opinion, right? Like, he was a solid receiver last year. If that's your wide receiver three, you're in great shape. But it's Ryan Williams. He's on the cover of the EA Sports College Football game with Jeremiah Smith. You got to be better than that. So, you know, my expectation for him is I think mentally is a lot of where he needs to get better. That the hands need help too. He had a lot of drops, but I think, you know, at times last year, he's just kind of a basket case. And so he's got to find a way to grow up, deal with the expectations that come with, you know, all of the glitz and the glam that he got as a freshman. And you got to be able to step up and be a guy for those new quarterbacks. So I think he will be better, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's going to go out there and, you know, go for, you know, 80 catches, 1,300 yards and double-digit touchdowns. I would love to see that. He's got the talent. I think we all agree to do that. But it starts up here, man. You gotta be better mentally and be willing to take some shots and be that leader. Now it's your third year. So I have high expectations for him, but you know, maybe that's not fair.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about LSU real quick. Are you a believer in Lane Quinton, who didn't see it out at Ole Miss? And hey, last time I checked, Conrad, he's never beaten Alabama.
He has not.
5.
Get your popcorn.
I believe DeBoer has never lost to LSU. Now, take that for what it's worth. I know new coaching staff and things of that nature, but I get it. And if LSU's a playoff team, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm not saying they're going to be awful, but just essentially assembling a roster with a new coaching staff, I'm kind of stunned that people are like penciling them in as a again, I'll reference Marler here. He says not a playoff contender, national championship contender. I'm not quite buying that yet. Are you?
So there's a couple things on that for me. First off, you know, it's similar to, you know, the Joel Klatt thing you brought up. Well, maybe you could argue how true the statement is. Technically, Lane Kiffin's never made the college football playoff as a head coach. Now, granted, the team that he was in charge of last year made it. But Pete Golding was the coach there in the playoffs, as we all know. This has nothing to do with the product on the field. I am a believer in karma. And would it not be very fitting for Lane Kiffin, after doing everything he did, to never make the college football playoff at LSU? I'm not saying that's like the right, you know, fair answer, but does that not just seem like some Lane Kiffin crap that would happen to him, where he is just cursed now because he's been, you know, he kind of treated him like shit for so long, and now this is his payback, right? Is you don't get to make the college football playoff. But all that aside, in terms of the actual team that he's put together, I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to be competitive. I would not have them in the college football playoff right now. And again, it's, you have a lot of guys that didn't play together. You have this huge portal class. Who knows how it works, right? You never know. You can, on paper, it looks great. Sam Levitt's coming off a major injury. Is he going to be ready for the start of the season? Maybe, maybe not. But even if he is, who's to say it doesn't take him a couple games to get ready? And that could be a problem because you've got Ole Miss very early in the season, and I think we all know that's the game they're going to have circled the most. And it's tough in the SEC. It's Lane Kiffin. We know how he is. He is the king of hyping up matchups and then falling flat on his face. Now, I'll give him credit, right? He got better. Like, he beat Georgia a couple years ago. He's had some good wins. But, I mean, I'm with you. Like, I think they're going to be good. I wouldn't be shocked if you told me that they went 10-2 or 11-1 and made a college football playoff. But, I'm kind of with you on let's pump the brakes a little bit on the Lane train there in Baton Rouge because they got a lot of things to figure out. I know it's a different team and Brian Kelly's not there, but that was not a very good football team last year. And so to just immediately think that they're going to flip that switch and be a 10-win team this year in the SEC, I don't think that's I wouldn't write them in pen if I was making out a college football playoff bracket.
Mm-hmm. And then are you a believer – a little different story, obviously, but are you a believer in Texas and Arch and then putting all their chips in the table, so to speak, this season?
Definitely more so than last year, because I was one of the people last year, and I was very critical of Arch on our show for the first chunk of the season. I think he made tremendous strides. I really did. I was very impressed with him. And credit where credit's due, right? If you're disappointing, I'm going to call it out. If you impress me, then I'm going to give you credit for developing as a quarterback. I always thought going into last year that we need to talk about Texas in 2026. I always thought that it was, all right, we're – making a playoff last year wasn't crazy talk to me, but you know, them being the number one team in the country and all that, I didn't buy into that. But I do think this year, I'm definitely ready to buy into them. Now, do I know if they're the number one team in the country? Not necessarily. You know, I would still, you know, I don't know if I would name them the best team in the SEC heading into the year, but they should absolutely be a playoff team. And I think they will be. You had a young offensive line last year. That should be better. You spent God knows how much money on Cam Coleman. So that should be able to, you know, we'll see, right? You know, he was at Auburn and he was, you know, God's gift to football and they still couldn't find themselves in a bowl game. So we'll see how that goes at Texas. But I think Arch got a lot better. They have a nice little running game there. They have a couple backs that I believe in. And then defensively, I think they're going to be very, very good. So, yeah, I buy the Texas hype in terms of them being a playoff team. But if you ask me to say, would I take Texas or the field to win the national championship? I'm taking the field, no questions asked.
And I wanted to ask you about Oklahoma too, because I believe you were in Norman for the first time as them as SEC.
Oh yeah,
foes. We don't have to rehash what happened there. Experience. But
nice fans, terrible experience. They did not like when I was challenging them on Tua should have won the Heisman over Kyler Murray. But other than that, they're
but I do think they've been a great addition to this conference. Yep. And I would you agree that I know we got a long way to go, but it feels to me like Alabama, Oklahoma, they're building a little rivalry, and it seems like only natural that those two would as two of the best programs in this sport history.
Yeah, no, I definitely think you could say there's, you know, in terms of, yeah, I don't count like Texas and Texas A&M, right? Because that was a rivalry. It went away and now it's a rivalry again. But in terms of, you know, kind of the new blood coming into the conference and finding those fun, you know, like you said, it takes a long time for it to be an official rivalry, but it's a fun kind of back and forth now. So, yeah, I definitely think that there's something brewing there. I will say, as far as Oklahoma goes, though, this next year, that is maybe the one team, I guess I've just seen a lot of people like, oh, yeah, they're going to be back in the college football playoff. They're going to be better than they were this past year. And I'm not there yet. For me personally, I don't know where you are in Oklahoma. They were great defensively last year. They're losing a lot of big pieces. Like R. Mason Thomas was one of the best defensive players in the entire country last year. He's going to be gone. I was all on the Ja'Matir hype train last year. I thought he was going to be absolutely incredible. He was not. Granted, he was hurt. So he's going to have to make some big strides for me. That offense is going to have to get a lot better because, I mean, as we saw in the playoff, right, that was a team that was led by their defense and carried by their defense. And I think the defense is still going to be good, but I think it's fair to assume they'll take a little bit of a step back. And I don't really have a big reason to be super confident in the offense right now. So it'll be fun, you know, Alabama, Oklahoma, like if we want to make that a rivalry and, you know, the colors are similar, all that stuff, it's great. I'm here for it. But yeah, the Oklahoma hype, that's maybe the one team in the SEC so far this offseason that I'm still a little scratching my head on why so many people just assume they're going to be right back where they were last year.
All right. The last thing I wanted to ask you, Conrad, the Auburn Bulls, that's what I'm calling them this year. But what is more likely? Auburn wins an Iron Bowl, or Stephen Pearl leads his basketball program to the NCAA tournament? And I'm talking about Golish winning an Iron Bowl. I should have said that.
Yeah, yeah. Are we talking about Stephen Pearl this year or just in his – however long his tenure
in each of their tenures, which was more likely, Golish wins an Iron Bowl or Pearl makes an NCAA tournament?
Oh, the entire tenure. Oh man, that's a great question. I would say this year, NCAA tournament for Stephen Pearl, because I mean, they have to beat Alabama on Saturday. We'll see how that goes. But the Iron Bowl's in Bryant Denny, Mike. That's not happening. I think we all know how that's going to go. But in terms of over their tenures, I'll go Alex Golish Iron Bowl because I think he's there longer than Stephen Pearl is with the basketball program. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. And I will say this in all seriousness about Auburn football. I'm genuinely excited to see what that product looks like. I think they're going to be better than they were under Hugh Freeze. I don't know if they're going to win, you know, 8 or 9 games this year. I think they're probably more, maybe 7-5 is where I'd be at right now with the potential for 8 wins. But I do think that he's going to have that program going in a good direction, and I think that they will be more competitive. And it might take a year or two, but I do think that they're headed in a better direction than they were under Hugh Freeze, certainly. So, yeah, I'll go Alex Golish in the Iron Bowl. I'll give him some credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you're an Alabama fan, but I think those Auburn fans, they deserve something good after the last couple of football coaches. So we're rooting for Alex Golish on this show. All right, Conrad, can't thank you enough for your time. Before you go, can you tell my audience how to follow you and how to find the show?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, X, whatever you call it, at Conrad VO Radio. So you can go follow me there. And then you can listen to me. So I do 2 shows on Jocks from 6 to 7 a.m. Weekdays, Morning Jocks. It's me and Damian Mitchell. And then 3-Man Front. Shameless plug right here on the Quarter Zip. We do that show from 10 to 2 over on Jocks Monday through Friday. That's me, Pat Smith, Landrum Roberts, and Molly Robinson. And you should come check us out. We have a lot of fun, and we talk college football all season long, just like you, Mike.
Yeah, I can't recommend it enough. It is an entertaining show, fantastic guests, and some of the best callers at any sports show in America. So go check them out. Thank you, Conrad. Really appreciate you. Can't wait for our next conversation. Have a good one, man.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike.